Botage hoje este lindo dia. Este podcast de hackers. Good afternoon. It's such a beautiful day. Welcome to Hackers Podcast number 280. Let's go. And good evening, everyone. My name is Crash.
And I am Gummo. And welcome to Hackers Podcast number 230. Jesus, you know.
Is it 30 or 80?
Is it?
What?
It's 80.
Is it?
Not 30.
Yeah, it's 80, man.
Dude.
You're thinking 50 shows back.
Dude, it's been like that for the past several days. I've just been spouting just incoherent shit.
Yeah, what are you doing? We're working on some like fucking, I don't know, you working on a spaceship or something?
Man,
like,
what the hell?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Have a UFO or something coming up, you know,
dude.
Be like, hey, you know, look at me, I'm hovering up here.
No, man.
I'll send the beam down for you.
It's been kind of weird, man. The past like 4 or 5 days, like everything that comes out of my mouth, the dates are wrong, the at time accuracies, everything is just mixed, jumbled, garbled, and I think it's cute, right? Because it's just, I'm getting old.
Well, you want to know something?
What?
The whole universe is old.
Right. And I just feel obliged to add to it. Right. So, feeling good about that. But yeah, you know, just, I don't know, feeling happy and, you know, just getting my words jumbled. I don't know. But
listen, it's all good. I do the same thing, you know, especially if I've been programming for like days in on out.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, what day is it? Oh, I don't know. Isn't it Christmas still? Like, bro, it's fucking July. Like, what?
Oh, the sun is out.
Yeah. It's warm out?
Yeah.
But there's leaves on the tree? I can touch grass?
Yeah. Well, that's a thing right here in Florida, you know, like the leaves are growing on the trees. You know, they have fully regrown from the winter break.
Last week, there's a tree in front of my house, and... Uh-huh. The tree itself was bare, you know, practically bare. And now only, you know, the following week, 3 days, 4 days later, whatever it was, it's virtually
fully bloomed.
Yeah. Bloomed. I'm like, what?
I came over to your house last night, man. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, well, it didn't have leaves like 5 or 6 days ago, and now it was like fully bloomed. So I was like, he doing to that tree? what are you feeding it?
Super compost. It's super soil mixtures.
Wow.
You know, it's funny.
It's crazy. What?
Yeah, I've used those before. If anyone that's into agriculture at all.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. There's something called super soil. And basically what it is, it's like very highly amended soil,
right?
And it has a lot of nutrients in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the fuck is outside of my house though. I mean, it sure as hell ain't that. It's because I remember one time I took a soil sample from out back, I think,
right?
And it was like just loamy, sandy soil, you know, typical Florida type stuff.
Yeah.
And
so two different soil types in your yard.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, well, my yard specifically is like a loamy, sandy kind of soil. And what I'm talking about is what's called super soil, or like, you know, some shit you would use to grow these, you know, amazing plants, you know, what, tomatoes.
You need to put some grass on that motherfucker.
Yeah. Dude, you know, what's fun is, I worked at a little nursery and shit, selling plants and whatever. And there's so many different types of grass. It's mind-boggling.
What were you doing in a nursery?
Well, I wanted to learn more about plants. I got into plants. You know, I want to learn more about you know, the different varieties, you know, how to take care of things. And it was a really good experience. You know, it was like a little temporary thing. And
so what was one of the most important things you learned about working in a nursery?
Oh, I think the most important thing that I learned was time. And what I mean by that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is like when you should put plants out, where you should put plants and that kind of thing, because timing is everything with even in a vegetative state for a plant. You know, it needs a lot of sunlight depending on the plant to grow, or maybe it needs a lot of shade. And so, you know, it requires thinking about the time that the sun rises and sets and all this other kind of cool stuff. But not only that, but I found that you don't really have to be that gentle with a plant. Before going and working there, I used to be so delicate, you know, regardless of the plant that it was, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to, you know, fuck it up. Or, you know, especially if I'm like planting it, I would be so delicate with the root ball and this, that, and the other. Like, oh, I don't want to get my oils onto the roots or, you know.
And that's not even the thing.
That's not even a thing. I went there and the owner of the nursery, you know, he worked there as well. He'd visit. He had a couple places. And so he'd come over. And one day I'm just repotting stuff, you know, these little small plants or whatever. But, you know, I'm repotting them and I was being super slow, super delicate. I didn't want to fuck with it or anything, you know, and mess up the plants.
Right.
And the owner's like, yeah, he comes over, he sees me and he's like, yeah, let me show you something. He takes these fucking plants, right?
Right.
These are fully like developed root balls. They're like 4-inch plants, you know, or 4-inch pots. Anyone that knows about it, you know, they're little starter plants.
Right.
He takes the starter plant with a fully developed root ball. He rips the fucking thing in half, not the plant, but the root ball, and he just puts it on top of soil. And I come back a couple weeks later, and that fucking plant is thriving. It's like 10 times larger. And he looked at me, he's like, you don't have to be gentle with these plants. They live in the ground. They're resilient. Nature gave them, you know, things to survive even the most wild of conditions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, not only with time and all that, I suppose I learned that, you know, just you don't really have to be super gentle all of the time.
So basically you could take a plant and just like hit it with a baseball bat and plant it. Like,
yeah, yeah, dude, it's fucking nuts. So plants, I was trying to think of the term there for a second, you know. But anyway, yeah, you can
plants.
Dude, you could take a fucking plant, whack it,
yeah,
cut it, you know, cut it in half, fucking bend it, break it, and it'll just,
that bitch will still keep growing.
It'll still come back. Let me tell you
the essence of life.
And real quick example of that is that you know, I like weed. I've cultivated weed before.
Oh boy, that's a big surprise.
Yeah, no kidding. but yeah, no, I used to cultivate it. And there's a plant that I really adored. And it's called Mango Kush, and it smells exactly like mangoes. It's sweet. You know, it's very, very nice. And anyway, I was growing it one day, and I was doing what's called low stress training on it.
Right.
And that basically just means bending it certain ways so that way it grows more efficiently. I ended up splitting the plant in half, like down the middle of the stem, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's like if you imagine just a tree or a plant just growing up straight, that shit was split in half. And I fucking was like, oh shit.
So you got twice the weed.
No, that's not what happened. Is that what happened is that I basically tied it back together or taped it or whatever it was. I forget now, but it was quite a while ago.
Right.
And it fucking just kept growing. Wow. It just kept growing.
So you learned something there.
Yeah, I learned that, you know, you can... Yeah.
You can do all kinds of shit with plants.
With plants,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Dude, plants are one of the most resilient things that I've ever encountered. And
they're
just incredible. And I know that I've been on this tangent for a minute now, but you know, I guess
it's all good, man. Yeah, I mean, you're teaching everybody.
Yeah,
you know, like splitting a plant. I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, and of course, you can't do that with every plant.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't go in...
What are the benefits of splitting a plant?
That's a great question. That's a fucking amazing question, actually. So, depending on the plant, and, you know, specifically with weed, you know, I'll just go ahead with that experience, is that, so if you split a plant, or not split it, there's different techniques where you can... it's called topping or femming.
Right.
And the femming part...
It sounds like a subsexual shit.
Yeah. Well, it's not femming. It's femming. F-I-M, not F-E-M.
Okay.
Fem, not fem. Fem.
I was getting turned on there for a minute, man.
And just for anyone that's curious, so fem, fem means...
Yeah, we know what that means.
No, it doesn't... No.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It means fuck, I missed.
Oh.
And so basically what that means is that, so there's topping, which means that you take off the next node, right?
Right.
And get your mind out of the gutter. And so what topping is, you take off the next layer that's growing. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you're splitting your plant into two.
Ah.
Now, the cool thing about femming, F-I-M,
right,
is that you are not creating two plants or two tops of the plant. Uh-huh. But you're creating four. And so your plant then splits from one plant into four different, or not plants, but branching. It branches off into four different nodes, right?
Right.
And so at that point, you have a canopy that is, you know, three times the size that you originally had. So it's very cool, you know, and it's just plants in general, again, are super resilient. In keeping with that, when you do these things like topping and femming, you're essentially allowing more production value in your plants. You know, so again, cannabis or even tomatoes or whatnot, when you do this, you're evening the canopy and you're allowing all of the energy of the plant to produce better fruits more evenly, and just the plant in general is more efficient. And you can do all sorts of cool things too. You know, and again, this goes for multiple plants, not just cannabis or weed or whatever. But again, like tomatoes, you can low stress train a tomato plant.
I love tomatoes.
Yeah, and you could get that tomato plant to have like a shit ton more tomatoes.
And is it true that can you grow tomatoes inside, like in your kitchen? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So here's the cool thing about modern technology and just modern life in general is that you can grow any plant inside. It doesn't matter what plant it is. You can grow a fucking pineapple tree inside,
right?
Or a banana tree. And I say that because I know it's a greenhouse, but we had a greenhouse and we had a banana tree in the greenhouse. So, you know, if the only difference between a greenhouse and indoors is just that it's normal sunlight versus artificial LEDs,
okay,
or gotcha, like HIDs or really whatever, right, you want to use. And so, yeah, you That's can grow anything. Yeah. It's, and I actually recommend it. If you grow specifically in colder climates,
right,
I really recommend people taking their plants inside during a really hard frost or something and just basically, keeping their plants dormant inside.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a tree or some crazy shit where it'll survive, you know?
Right. I remember growing up, you know, when I was a kid in Jacksonville, Florida, I remember growing up and, you know, during the winter, you know, you knew it was cold when, you know, the weather reports would say, oh, be sure to cover your plants up. You know, it's going to be a frost tonight. And you're like, yeah, oh my God, a frost.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
a frost. Yeah. And then, you know, yeah, like, you know, years later after, you know, living in Chicago, you know, like when you'd hear a frost, you're like, oh, it's warming up.
Yeah. I used to look forward to the last frost of the season.
Oh my God.
Up there. It'd be like, all right, we're going to put the frost covers on one last time. I'd be like, fuck yeah, finally.
Yeah, you remember that crap, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the nursery, we would have to put frost covers over the delicate plants, like alyssum and all that kind of shit. Yeah. And
did it work? Does
They do work, them, yeah. It does work, yeah. Frost covers, it's not going to keep the actual temperature, you know, from the plant, but it'll keep frost accumulating and other things as well.
Keeps them warm.
Yeah, it keeps them fairly insulated, depending on what kind of cover you use.
Good advice.
So, yeah, you know, you can cover your plants if you want.
So, are there any resources that our listeners can, you know, check out or, you know, like on some sort of, you know, continuum where, you know, what you were talking about, or can you point someone in the right direction, you know, either online or a book or something like
that? It's kind of difficult to point anyone in a direction right now because I'm speaking very broadly and generally, you know, if you want cannabis information, there's definitely certain websites and whatnot out there.
Right.
But, you know, I'd recommend just going on YouTube, looking up what you're wanting to know and learning from there. I would start, you know, from germination all the way to propagation, and, you know, just learn basics too, because when you learn the basics of that stuff, you know, plant propagation and plant germination, all that kind of stuff, it eventually translates. The only difference really is different types of plants will take longer to propagate or longer to germinate.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you may learn about something such as grafting, which I remember learning about grafting, and there was like no information about it back in, you know, years ago. And now it's just, it's everywhere. So you can definitely find information all over the place.
Google and OpenAI is your friend.
No, well, fuck AI. Just fucking Google. This shit's so stupid.
Go use the old stuff. Go to Google.
Then. Search it and research it yourself. Yeah. Don't rely on AI to fucking provide you an answer. Yeah.
Well said. Yeah. Well, good advice, man. Thank you. And, you know, just to finish up what you were talking about there, you know, I had to get a cannabis card because I hang out with you so much and didn't want to get in trouble.
You know, if our government legalized it federally, then, you know, there'd be a lot better things happening in the world. And just, you know, FYI, it's for funny. Those of you listening in Congress, it would actually stave off the black market.
Do you really believe that anyone in Congress listens to this podcast?
I'm just saying that as like I don't fucking care if anyone listens from Congress.
That's highly unlikely.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if they're, you know, for the one person that can get that message out there, like, just fucking legalize it. You'll be
that
able
would
to
be funny.
Listen, if you legalized it, you'd be able to tax it better. It would be able to fucking get rid of the black market.
Wouldn't it be funny if someone in Congress literally quoted our podcast?
I'd love that. I would actually start looking at politics at that point, but nobody fucking cares about the person anymore. It's all about the corpos.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't care about politics. You know, and until politics becomes about the people, you know, it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, moving on, folks, they're Microsoft for years, I believe since 2005, you know, so we, the majority of people out there, you know, basically are using Windows, right?
And
Windows, you know, it's still, not shockingly, it's still one of the most prevalent operating systems in the world. And, you know, there's a lot of misleading going on about how to protect your operating system. You know, like, well, how do I know if it's infected, right? That's literally the number one thing that I've heard throughout my career is, back in the day, I would get, you know, a message or, a support request, you know, like, hey, you know, my computer's infected. And then you have to, yeah, it's an hour and a half after that for one specific user. And so, and a lot of people, including me back then, as systems administrators, we wanted a more effective baked-in tool. And so, you know, that was back in the Windows XP era.
Man, I miss XP. Remember being able to customize the start XP. Bar with like the silver colors and shit like that?
Yeah, I really loved XP because it was in TFS and you could change the theme, right? And that wish... You know, modern versions of Windows allowed you to change different eras, you know, like if you wanted your Windows 11 to look like Windows 95, you know, that would be super cool.
And technically, I'm
shocked that feature doesn't exist for modern operating systems.
Well, here's the thing. Technically, you can get your Windows operating system to look like that. But the thing
it's skinned, right?
Well, it's not skinned. It's the thing. Right. The thing is that it's heavily modified in terms of security practice. So if you've ever seen a computer at like a school where it looks like Windows 95 even though it's like XP or fucking Windows 7.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
I've never seen
that. It's a very big thing. And
so security through obscurity, huh?
Well, it's not through obscurity. It's more the fact that, you know, system admins specifically didn't want to upgrade to later versions of Windows.
Right.
But not only that, but if you disable certain things on Windows, it defaults to the old legacy type shell. As far as I'm aware, I don't know about Windows 11 or any of that bullshit, but because fuck Windows 11. Like, literally damn that operating system to hell.
I've been using it reluctantly.
I cannot stand Windows 11. Windows 11 is the most dastardly fucking bullshit that's ever been released.
You don't say.
It's a fucking monstrosity. And
it sounds like you really like it.
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's my favorite fucking operating system.
All right, so,
I use Arch, by the way. No, I'm joking. I don't.
Hey, so anyhow, all right, so we drifted far away. Listen, folks, since 2005, Microsoft... You're so funny. So Microsoft baked in a tool, right? A tool.
Baked it in, huh?
They
what is it?
Baked in a tool. You need a tool. Everybody needs a tool.
They just need a tool.
So,
so what's the tool?
Well, a lot of people don't know that Microsoft baked in, you know, a little security apparatus that exists. So you can do some scanning, right? So, Ooh. Yeah. So, folks, it's called the Microsoft Malicious Something. What is it called?
Isn't it the malicious software removal tool?
It is the Microsoft malicious software removal tool.
Yeah, but that thing is only so, you know.
No, it's effective. It's effective. And it's effective. And, you know, folks, if you are curious on, you know, searching your operating system for something that's effective and built in, and you don't really know how to download, you know, something to see if your computer's infected or has issues, just go to this, you know, go to the little search bar in your Windows, you know, search thingy, right? And type in MRT, and then it will say, you know, and then you'll see,
press the Windows key in search instead. Press the little Windows icon on your keyboard and then start typing.
Exactly, right? And then just simply type in MRT, and then it will pop up a tool to scan your operating system that, you know, Microsoft baked into the OS and it's been in Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, Windows, what came after Windows? Windows 8, Windows 10, and now it's still in Windows 11. So almost for, what, 20 years now? Yeah, what?
It wasn't 8, it was 8.1.
I could not stand that operating system.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's just as bad as Windows 11.
I bought, you know, yeah.
If not worse.
I bought a laptop like in 2013 and it came with Windows 8 baked into it.
That dumbass Metro bullshit that they had going on.
Yeah. The Metro tiles, the live fucking tiles. I mean.
Listen, I had an Xbox. Remember that? And this was an Xbox One. This was years ago when they first released all that fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I powered my shit on and I'm like, what in the absolute fuck am I looking at? Because all it was were just little fucking tiles and I couldn't figure out where to navigate. Right. Listen, and you got to remember that for me, I'm coming from the old school, like 2006 original Xbox 360.
OG.
Yeah, like the blades menu type.
Damn,
menu. You know, and not only that, but I even go further back with the OG
going back.
Xbox. Listen, I miss the original Xbox, the original Xbox.
Y'all crashes menu. Going way back.
Listen, 2001 was, or let me go forward a couple years actually. 2004, yeah, later 2004 was amazing.
2004.
Because 2004 we had Xbox Live for the first time. It was the first real like broadband internet full blown fucking like, you know, amazing time type shit. I miss those menus. That's what I'm saying basically here, is that I miss the simple menus of I put my game in, I press the button that starts it, and I start playing. Why can't I do that anymore? Why can't I just fucking do that? I gotta install it. I gotta make sure all the DLC's there. I gotta fucking update it with a fucking 20 GB patch that was just released after the fucking game was just released. Like,
dropping F-bombs everywhere.
Dude, because I'm
passionate about that.
Well, yeah.
Missed the old days, huh?
I do, and I'm gonna kind of, you know, break away into another topic here in a second. It's still gonna be about video games.
Incoming rant, huh?
Yeah, but you know,
what's going on?
So, you know, going hand in hand with the old school days is that, you know, I for one, and I know a lot of people do, use emulators, right?
Right.
And that's for
gaming emulator?
Yeah, so it's gaming emulators.
On what? The PC or
for me, yeah. So you can use an emulator on anything that can run an emulator. You can fucking run an emulator on a damn Android phone.
Right.
Or a calculator. I've literally seen a person play Minecraft or in like homebrew emulation shit on a fucking TI calculator. Motherfucker was playing Super Mario and Minecraft on the same calculator.
Is that really possible?
It is. It's completely possible.
So if I Google that, I'm going to find that.
I don't know if you'll see the Mario one, but you'll definitely see the Minecraft. Just look up Minecraft on a calculator and you'll see that shit. It's the most, it's probably one of the coolest things that I've seen because, you know, because I do a lot of software engineering and shit.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that and I'm like, this fucking kid's brilliant. Wow. And then there's another guy that did it too. And, you know, just all the people that do that kind of stuff are fucking brilliant. But, you know, kind of getting off topic with that, you know, I like emulation. I think that emulation is a necessary part in today's modern society.
Sure.
You know, it's because there's so many things, specifically media. You know, I think that media preservation is important now that we're getting to the point of, you know, old things, you know, things getting lost over time, right? And even movies and games. And so I think that that we need to preserve shit. And so there's emulators that I play for like Nintendo or Xbox or whatever, and I play games that don't exist anymore, right? And there's an emulator recently that I don't really use it personally, but it's a Nintendo DS emulator, and there's also a 3DS emulator and all this other, and a Switch emulator, all this shit. And recently Nintendo has sued them, and I'll go ahead and just name them. The clients are Yuzu and Citra, and they were open source emulators that required the user to quite literally dump their hardware's keys and all this, that, and the other in order to even use the emulator. And so the reason this is concerning that they sued, you know, these people is that not only is it open source, but it puts a really bad taste in, you know, preservationist's mouth. Why, you know, there's no reason that should be a thing.
Well, if it's intellectual copyrighted code, which
it's not,
it is.
It's not, actually. It's right? Not copyrighted.
So no
code.
Games have copyright.
Well, here's the thing. They sued the people that were creating the emulator, not right. The pirated.
Well, you know, what they are doing is they are facilitating the defeatation of a copyrighted material, and that's direct violation of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
That's not entirely true because they weren't circumventing anything necessarily.
Are they games that there are these games that you can play on the emulators?
Yes.
So they are being circumvented.
But they're not being circumvented on purpose. The whole point of the emulator was to be able to run homebrew, which is not first party code and not a Nintendo game. And so these things are being controlled by companies that don't even have rights to control these things. And so the whole thing was that, yeah, there's piracy and whatnot going on and whatever.
Right.
But the developers of these emulators are not directly associated with the pirates themselves. And they even claim that they're not advocating for piracy.
Well, why are they creating the emulators?
To preserve games. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is that these companies, specifically Nintendo's bitch ass, is going after people trying to preserve media that ends up getting lost, doesn't work well on their fucking native hardware. Right. You have shit like The Legend of fucking Zelda that runs at 20 FPS when I can run it on the emulator on my PC at 60. That's fucking retarded. I don't understand how the fuck a company that can't even get their FPS or their games to run properly is actually concerned more about suing people trying to get the games running properly and to be able to preserve their history in and of itself. But instead of actually taking, you know, a high stance on that and saying, well, that's kind of cool, it's an old system anyway, fuck it. Yeah, let them do their thing. As long as they're not actually, you know, advocating piracy and this, that, and the other. Which they're not. Because all they're doing, and let me restate this, is that regardless if there's pirated games for the emulator or not, you are required by the emulator itself to dump your own hardware in order to use it. So they're in and of itself.
Why wouldn't you use your own hardware? Because the hardware doesn't
play the game at the proper frame rate or the actual way that the developer intended it to be played. Again, there's games like Legend of Zelda, the main staple alongside shit like Pokemon on these platforms.
Is it a modification to the game through emulation?
No, it's a straight emulation. It's you're taking your hardware, you're taking the software key or whatever the fuck it is on your hardware, and you're just putting it into the emulator, and you're playing it at with better hardware.
Right.
That's it. You're still using your thing that you bought and got licensed from them, and just you're running it in a more smoother way. That's it. And people, there's pirates, whatever the fuck, whatever the fuck you want to call them. But again, it's for preservation. And the reason why this is so upsetting is because there's other emulators out there that do the same thing. There's PS3 emulators. There's a fucking PlayStation 4 emulator. There's Xbox emulators. There's all of these other emulators out there. I can go right now, and I did it the other day, played a fucking brand new video game, or pretty much brand new, and it's... What's the fucking difference? Why isn't Sony doing it? Why isn't Microsoft doing it? Because they don't care, because they make enough money by releasing their games to the general public in an actual good fashion, such as on Steam or through their marketplace. But Nintendo is so fucking greedy that they would rather sue people instead of releasing their shit to the general public, and that's how they make their money, and they're just fucking bastards for it. And I know I'm a little heated, but it's absolutely ridiculous that we can't preserve games and play the preserved games that aren't being preserved by the first party company themselves, let alone they give a shit. You know, and so I think it's, again, ridiculous that we can't preserve the things that we bought. It's like buying a trading card game card and fucking being like, oh yeah, I laminated it, but because I laminated it, I'll probably get arrested. It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, there you have it. That's how it's going. So, yeah.
Yeah, so fuck Nintendo.
All right, well, fuck them. So getting back to the malicious software removal tool, you can download the tool if you want to, folks, by actually, going to Microsoft's malicious software removal download site, and you can actually download the standalone software removal tool, and also you can install it on a USB stick as well. So, one other thing that I find interesting about the MRT, closing out, I don't want to spend all time.
Yeah,
on
that's
it, but,
cool.
But you can have it as a standalone executable, and you could have it on a thumb drive, and scan other computers in the startup screen and all of that. So check it out. It's the software malicious the removal tool for Microsoft.
Now, what versions of Windows is it for? Is it for all versions?
For all versions since 2005.
Wow. Okay, so that's been there for a minute. Now, would it be a good idea to use that alongside like BitLocker or what would you recommend?
Well, BitLocker is baked into the operating system, and I believe we've covered that in previous shows where BitLocker's the security has been compromised. So
right.
If you're an enterprise organization, ensure that you're not depending solely on technologies like BitLocker to protect your assets, because that's a misgiving at any level or function. So
yeah,
check out the malicious software removal tool. I think it's a pretty good idea, and it's free, right? And there's nothing better than free. So
that's
kind of it, folks. I'm kind of tired, got out and did a little bit, R&R. Just to reiterate, last week we launched a new cybersecurity company, twohackers.net. It's through my encouragement that you at least visit the site and check it out if you're curious about, latest evolving technologies. And if you are an organization or if you know of an organization in need, that, you know, requires our services. Well, now you have an option, or they have an option, and you have an option to give to others. And it's just Gummo and Crash doing cybersecurity. Twohackers.net, check it out.
For it's the bee's knees.
Yeah, it's definitely the bee's knees.
The bird is the word.
Yeah, and it's been going quite well, effectively. Wanted to say thank you to everybody who supported us in that effort to get it out the door and up and running. And so also I wanted to share with everybody the fact that we will be making a return to Spotify soon. I was actually in, you know, I just don't want to get into it too long or detailed, but I was having some interesting discussions with the folks at Spotify, and they are more than willing to have us back on their platform. So look for us back on Spotify soon. Yeah, we hope you are able to tune in to us there as well. What else you got, Crash? You going... Crash Nintendo's servers
else.
Or
no, I don't have anything else. For some reason,
you were fired up over that.
Yeah, well, I think it's, again, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I bought a game and
You can't play it.
Yeah, like 20 years ago, I bought a game, and you're telling me I can't fucking play it now?
Well, you know, and just, you know, with that, folks, right? Be sure to, if you are playing around with any type of emulators, you know, ensure that you're not breaking the law, right? Because there are laws that govern these types of technologies and circumvention technologies. So be sure to understand the letter of the law that you're engaging with any specific,
there's a difference between running homebrew code and then running DRM content. Well, these things aren't meant to necessarily play DRM content.
Yeah.
Just because someone adds an extra branch of code to it to do so doesn't mean that these developers necessarily support it. And just to be clear, most of these developers, if not all of them, they usually put a big disclaimer saying that they don't condone piracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's remember that, folks, as we get underway with a lovely week. The weather's finally nice, shaped up here in Florida. I like it. Yeah. So with that, let's just get out of here, go and enjoy some lovely weather. Hopefully everybody out there listening in has some lovely spring plans in store for them. And there's nothing better than a spring love when it's in the air, right? So with that, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to be back next weekend for another show. I know we're a couple days late, but, you know, I was off the matrix, man. So
yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it feels good to just touch grass once in a while. And that's what I did. I took your advice and went out and touched some grass for a few days. And, yeah, I feel really rejuvenated. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks, next weekend we'll be back. And until then, please take care of yourself. Echiamo, buongia. I love you very much. Have a wonderful day. And until then, we'll see you then. Bye.
Peace.
You know what I'm saying? They better walk on the face of the earth trying to judge J-Rock. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But I ain't shook because punks trying to take me out and stuff. But they can't, right?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Too many times. Too many times. That's too many times.
Hey, Freddy Confetti. Fall for
with the cash trying to tell y'all. I got you motherfuckers gas on the smell, dawg. J-Rock. And there's something. Randy, it's the fashion police. You'd be in charge $500 for wearing them pants after Labor Day.